When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And alert the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine.
You look like the vermin-ridden son of a bitch you are.
A podcast for everyone in the good old USA and all around the world.
Over there, send the word over there.
Quality booze and country music at its best.
So you're saying you set my country music award on fire?
The music, nice and loud.
What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly.
You can email the show at bootsandwhiskeypodcast@gmail.com. That's bootsandwhiskeypodcast@gmail.com.
Just swimming with bow-legged women.
All social media can be found at Boots and Whiskey Podcast. The show is great, even if you're sober. Well,
my advice to you, start drinking heavily.
Jim loves his music and his whiskey.
A real woman could stop you from drinking.
You have to be a real big woman.
This is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle. Great music, great booze, and fun, even for you non-drinkers.
Y'all want to drink whiskey? I'd like a Coca-Cola in a clean glass.
Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. As always, I am Jim. I am your host. So I say welcome back, but for those of you listening for the first time on Dirt Road FM, thank you all so much. This is our first episode with them. So if you're hearing this before noontime Eastern Standard Time here in the U.S., you're actually getting a treat because you're getting it before it's actually supposed to air at noontime live on their station. So take a look at that. We're also going to have all of our other episodes on that station. Our whole backlog is there, and everything going forward from today on, you know, for the foreseeable future, will be there. So check it out. A big thank you to the guys and girls and everybody involved over at Dirt Road FM for having us on. We're super excited to be part of this family. We've got a lot of cool things, I think, in store for you. And, you know, as always, if you are a new listener to the show, please go to our Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, pretty much every social media platform, like, share, subscribe, follow, everything. We greatly appreciate it. We're doing some really kick-ass things here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. We got some things that have just happened. We have recently got our CMA membership. We have been nominated to be part of the ACM family. We were just a Nashville Voyager yesterday. You can find that on there. You know, we've been all kinds of places. So a lot of cool things are happening here for us at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. And a lot of that is for all of the people that have liked, followed, shared, listened to this show. So, you know, really it doesn't go without being noticed. So thank you so much. But now, you know what? Enough of all that. Today is about Andrew McManus. Andrew, for those of you that don't know, is a local musician here to Massachusetts. For those of you that don't know, I am from Massachusetts, and that's where we are. Andrew's a local guy. He's actually killing it. He's really starting to get his feet wet in the local scene and playing all the local places here. This kid's got a great voice. I would check him out wherever you are. Follow him on all of his socials and just take a look at what he's doing, because I think if he keeps his feet on the ground and just keeps pushing along and doing what he loves, I think he can make a name for himself. That's for sure. You'll hear all about his story here coming up, so I don't want to give too much of it to you right now. Now, on this show, for those of you that have never heard it, it's conversational format. There are no questions and answers, per se. It's just a conversation. We do, you know, we just shoot the shit, more or less. And that's what I pride myself and this show on, is that it's not your typical question and answer, excuse my verbiage, but boring kind of interview. So I hope you enjoy it. Honestly, I really do. So without further ado, we do have some shout-outs to our sponsors and some friends. Hogwash and Rhinestones, Afterglow Boutique, Dirt Road Scholar Supply Company. You know, you'll hear from them throughout the episode. But until then, enjoy the show. Take a look at our friends and our sponsors. You can find them all over the place on our website. Everywhere, we blast the hell out of them. So go check it out and enjoy our conversation with Andrew McManus. Hey everyone, don't forget to check out our friends over at the AfterglowBoutique.com. That's the AfterglowBoutique.com. Or if you're local, they have a great shop at 43 Main Street in Blackstone, Massachusetts. All Boots and Whiskey podcast listeners get 20% off at checkout with the promo code BOOTS. That's B-O-O-T-S at checkout for 20% off at the AfterglowBoutique.com. Check them out. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey podcast sent you. Also, don't forget our friends over at hogwashandrhinestones.com. Our good friend Ray is the owner over there. She makes incredible clothing that you've seen all over the place, from Nashville to Boston to everywhere in between. Some really big names have worn her stuff. That's Hogwash, the letter N, rhinestones.com. Check them out. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey podcast sent you. You won't be disappointed. Check them out. Hogwashandrhinestones.com.
You know, just living the life, brother.
I can tell the typical 8:30 p.m. panic with the kid. Oh, it sounds like
God. It's been great, you know, but the last 6 weeks or so, you know, it seems like every week somebody's sick or there's some sort of something going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get that.
Got that constant in the back of your head all the time. And these days, I've never had allergies in my whole entire life, and I'm sitting here with a sore throat every day now, and I'm like, this is not typical, but something's different this year. Seems like everyone's got something.
Yeah, and you know, with the way, you know, it hasn't rained here, you know, in weeks at this point. So you know, nothing's settling. It's just you know, put a bullet in me because I'm done with feeling this way, you know.
Hey, well, I caught you finally.
Yeah, you know, I'm so glad we've finally been able to figure this out and get you on the show. It's a pleasure to have you.
Of course, yeah, I'm excited.
Good. So I don't know how much of this you've listened to. I'm sure you've listened to every episode front to back.
I won't even let you know, because just about.
But this is about you, so I'm going to let you go and let you do your thing and talk about you, and we'll talk about things along the way as things come up. So tell us who you are and what you're doing and all that stuff.
Cool. Yeah, I appreciate it. Well, my name's Andrew McManus, and I'm from Massachusetts. I grew up in, I would say, like the typical country story, small town, but I really was anything from the standard country lifestyle. Just about the only thing I had was the small town part in Rowley, right next to Ipswich. And so I grew up there, been in Massachusetts my whole life. Now I'm over in Dracut, but I would like to say that music was always a big part of my life. Thought it was a passion and something I've been singing since I was 4 years old, all that kind of stuff. And it really wasn't anywhere near that. I kind of lucked out that my parents weren't tone deaf and kind of were into music, and so when they sang to me and they brought me to things, I was always kind of hearing the right notes, and so I naturally had somewhat of a voice growing up. I like doing chorus. I like being in like kind of the singing portions of the theater and stuff like that, but only through elementary school. I was in bands. I played just about everything, saxophone, the typical, the recorder. I did some drums. I had a full drum kit, a electric guitar, everything that you could think of, but I was a master at none of it. I got into Rock Band, and that was about the Rock Band, the video game, and that was about the extent of it. And so getting into high school, I decided I wanted to get into a bunch of sports, and I really just, everything was just kind of sitting around. I never really dug into any of it. So I sold all my equipment. I played 4 sports a year and didn't really ever even touch anything to do with music again until college. And believe it or not, college actually freed up some time. I played college football at a D3 school in Western New England, studied to be a mechanical engineer. And my sophomore year, I'm like, you know what, on the off season, I got some time now to pick up a hobby. And so in the off time, I would practice some guitar and would sing as much as my roommates would allow me to. And I was more into like the alternative rock. Like I was learning Matchbox 20 and Goo Goo Dolls, and I was into that kind of stuff. Hated country music, I'm gonna be completely honest with you. And I'm like, I'm not into the dum 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 dum. That was my stance on it at the time. And I never knew I was into songwriting. I was always good at rhyming. My dad was always good at just running around the house singing different lyrics to songs, and I was good at kind of just picking up on stuff and rewriting portions of songs. I was always good at poetry and stuff like that, but not until I went through a breakup my junior year of college, I really like had some time to just kind of sit, and I started writing a song. I kept it hidden in my desk for probably close to a year, and that was really what those kind of emotions really were the first thing that brought out songwriting. And at the same time, I was playing guitar, I was starting to sing to it at the same time. And so I graduated, I was a mechanical engineer and was kind of living in a spot that I wasn't really sure of anything. So on the weekends, I'd go out, I'd find an open mic night, got a little bit of a kind of a crew that would show me the ropes and take me around to different open mic nights, give me some feedback on different things, and started to break into music and playing out live in that way. But I really ultimately wanted to start a band, and I was down in Connecticut at that point after school for about 10 months, and decided to take a job back up in my hometown area. And as soon as I got back, I honestly put out an ad on Facebook and on Craigslist and built the band with the same 5 guys that I have playing with me now. That was 6 years ago, and we're still kind of going strong with the same crew and playing out. And I know there's obviously a lot in between there that it kind of happened with songwriting and just kind of making the connections and learning everything. But really my end goal in any situation is to surround myself with people who know a hell of a lot more than me. And so I picked up on a couple guitar players who had played in original and cover bands for years, and they've really just been awesome mentors to me and really helped carry the band to what it is now. And so where we stand now, we put the Andrew McManus Band together back in 2015, started playing out in 2016, and also still working full-time, the 9-to-5, as a mechanical engineer on the sales side of things, though, and selling HVAC equipment. So it's kind of a mixed bag and a kind of different story of how I got there. But in where I stand now, it's kind of a side hobby that I love doing and starting to try to break into the original space at the same time. So that's where I'm kind of ready to start telling my own story.
Yeah. No. So was it hard for you to go from one genre that, you know, you had an affinity for to a genre that you, you know, really could care less about?
Believe it or not, going to a Jason Aldean concert, you would never know. You would never know the difference.
Yeah.
So I had a bunch of friends that I started getting to kind of spend more time with and really hanging out with, and everyone was into country music in college. And we'd go down to the Xfinity Center in Hartford, Connecticut, and see, I think my first concert they all took me to was Jason Aldean. And I mean, I would have been happy with the 5-hour tailgate. and just that atmosphere and just the party that went with it. And I just fell in love with it. And then all of a sudden we get in and I start hearing Jason Aldean, and I had obviously been introduced to it. And I started, I guess that's the portion that I kind of skipped over, is as I started to songwrite, I realized how much more fond I was of the songwriting and the lyric of country music. And so I noticed that as I was writing different songs, I was falling more into a kind of a country theme. And I somewhat had a natural twang, I've heard, not so much an accent, but my voice kind of was suited more for a country, like deeper country tone. And so that's a lot of the feedback that I got. At the same time, I started really appreciating a lot of the more modern country. And all it took was one country concert, and I was hooked. I was going to concerts every year, trying to play out. And everything that I've done since then has been really more geared towards the pop, modern country rock side of things. And I've been slowly working my way back in the years to some of the older stuff. And the more I dig into it, the more I appreciate some of the stuff that I wasn't into as much beforehand. But it's been an interesting experience, and a lot of turned heads when I say that I wasn't a huge fan of the Johnny Cash. And if somebody asked me to play a song that's any earlier than the 90s, and I have no idea what they're talking about, and they're like, you're a country artist and you don't know such and such, and I'm like, I'm gonna put it on my list, and I'm gonna go study it for you. But
yeah, you know, it's funny because, you know, and I've told the story a million times, but I hated country music, like despised country music up until, you know, really the last 6-7 years. You know, my dad's side of the family, it was all that, the Johnny Cash, the Conway Twitty, the Waylands, the, you know, the Hank Williams, you know, it was that country music. And, you know, when you're a kid listening to that, you know, it sucks, you know, especially when you grow up in New England, where there isn't a big push of that, you know, especially when, you know, my age group was growing up, because you're a few years younger than me, right?
I'll be 30 this year. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, you're a couple of years younger than me. And, you know, I tell people all the time, like, country music just has really only become a thing up here within the last 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, so before that it was the Matchbox 20s and the Bush and Sound, you know, and all those guys, you know, it wasn't, you know, if you would have said to me 10 years ago, hey, you're going to be, you know, running a country music podcast, I would have laughed in your face.
Yep. And at the same time, it's a lot easier to relate to that kind of the punk emo, everything sucks when you're in high school kind of music, and drinking beer every single night and have your own house on a piece of land and all the stuff you hear in a country song. So I guess it all kind of makes sense as you grow up and relate to all the country music these days.
Yeah. You know, and that's always been my thing, is my musical tastes have always changed with whatever was going on in life. You know, when I was an early teen, middle school, high school, you know, it was country, it was classic rock, because that's what my parents listened to. You know, and then it was, you know, I got into the Ozfest genre, I guess you could say, you know, and that was still relevant because, you know, I was 16, 17, 18 years old, and I was mad at my parents for no reason, you know. Yep. And then college comes and it's the jam bands, and then, you know, college ends and you start to have a life and start doing things for yourself, and it's like, oh, country music really makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah, I had some very distinct playlists, especially through all these transitions. I mean, when I was growing up, I was influenced a lot by just my cousins and my family growing up were all into just hip hop and rap. And so my first CD when I was in probably elementary school was D12, and I was into the Eminem and 50 Cent and all that standard stuff. And that was pretty solid through high school. And then all of a sudden I got into Rock Band, and I'm listening to all the stuff you hear, the Metallica, the Killswitch Engage. And all of a sudden now my workout playlist is like Five Finger Death Punch, and I'm listening to some of the more, I never got fully into like kind of the screamo stuff, but I could handle a couple bursts or two of that kind of music. And in between there, I was all into that super punk, like Simple Plan and Good Charlotte and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it was phases, and now it's country. But I mean, you can't get away with going to playing Loretta's and not going back to that 90s alternative rock and punk kind of stuff too. So it's kind of fun going back and pretty much playing a split set nowadays. And the guys that I happen to get along for the band, all my bandmates are very, very fluent in that kind of music. So when we say we want to add one of the classic or 90s rock tunes, we don't even have to rehearse it. We just kind of hit it up and it's the next fan favorite over at Loretta's. And we're like, why are we even trying country music?
So how did that whole thing with you, cause you play Loretta's quite a bit. Now, how did that all start? Because I mean, Loretta's, they don't just let anybody play at Loretta's.
Yeah, there's been a couple big shows or big venues that I've wanted to get into, and a lot of it is just, I realized early on, I mean, getting our first gig was a matter of just walking into places and saying, hey, I got a country band, I'm willing to play a free show, willing to open up for somebody, like, whatever you can do to help us out, like, we got a set together, we can do something. And it first place that gave us a shot was the Breakaway in Danvers, and they had us open up for Walking the Line with Kevin White back in 2016. So they ran all the sound for us and everything. We went and just did an opening set for them, but it was enough that I got enough like little promo material stuff that I can send to bars and restaurants and everything and just say, hey, here's a live video of our band playing. And it was a great way to start, and that kind of got us into the door to some small restaurants and things like that. We were playing British Beer Company that I knew a couple of my cousins had worked there, and so they would let us in and play a couple shows there. And within a couple of years, I'm like, you know what, if I could get into, at the time, Toby Keith's and then Loretta's, I'm like, I would be happy just kind of bouncing back and forth between those two venues. Like, it's just such a good time every time we play one of those. And it ended up being for Loretta's, I think I just probably every place nowadays, it's a message to their Facebook page and say, hey, who books this venue, and figuring out who the contact is, and then relentlessly just sending emails until, I mean, nobody really intentionally means to skip over your email, or maybe they do, but if you ping them enough times, they'll be like, hey, I'm not ignoring you, but we're super, super booked. And so we got a couple of dates, even, I don't know, 6 to 9 months out, and finally got in there, had some good showings. And I mean, we always have a great time and get a good turnout. And so it's something that we've been trying to keep up with at least every couple of months. But and then similar with now Six String, we haven't actually been able to get into Six String just yet. But back when it was Toby Keith's, it was just a matter of my bandmates had shared, my bassist also plays with Timmy Brown, and there was a night that they were looking for somebody to come and sing a couple songs. And so I stepped in with them and played a couple songs, got in their good graces, and they had us there a couple of times too. So just keeping the networks open and just trying to reach out and hounding people.
These days. No. And like, it's true. And, you know, I appreciate you saying that, because, you know, it's the same thing with me where, you know, I can't tell you how many emails I get a day where it's like, hey, are you interested in this person? And it's like, yes, I am, but I also don't have an open date until October.
Yeah.
Like, so it's one of those things. I can keep you in the funnel, or book for October and, you know, deal with it. You know, I don't, not in like a bad way, but it's, you know, it is what it is, you know, and it's, you know, I think a lot of people don't understand that portion of it. And, you know, I honestly really didn't until the last few months either, where it's like, you know, I felt like an asshole being, you know, intentionally ignoring these people, but you know, you get so much and you know, you try to prioritize.
Yeah. You can tell the people who know what they're doing too. I mean, it amazes me sometimes. And I know you've had, Jake and Jenny on, and I remember I played Toby Keith's, it was a Thursday night, probably in 2018. I think it was one of the right before they had kind of changed hands. And Jenny was actually at the show and came up to us after, and she goes, "Hey, I'm looking to try to start something up. I would love to kind of know any advice that you have." And I pretty much was kind of saying the same thing. Like, you got a network, gave her a couple of names and stuff. And all of a sudden, a couple of years later, and she's reaching out to me, asking me to come and do like an open mic or a writer's round that she's hosting. And she's doing all these original shows. She's booking some of the biggest festivals and different gigs around Boston. And I'm like, holy crap. And I'm like, what have you been doing? I said, do you remember when you came up to my band on a random Thursday night where we barely had anyone come in and you were asking me how to like network and make it in music? And all of a sudden now she's got the most connections and just knows how to kind of do it. And in the same way that I'm trying to do it as well too, just with a full-time job, just doing it for fun on the side. And it's just all about making the connections and not burning any bridges and keeping those open and just being open to just keep expanding that reach. And there's people, obviously her and Annie's been doing awesome. There's people just killing it with that networking side and pushing the country music scene in New England, which is awesome.
Yeah. You know, and it's really gotten huge. You know, you know, I see it all over the country, right? But I would put the local New England scene up against any other scene across the country because it's really good.
Yeah. And I've been over to Off the Rails in Worcester these past few months. And right as they started to open up, I had reached out and gotten some dates there. And I've got a 11-month-old son now, and so getting to Worcester on a weeknight or on a weekend to do an acoustic show hadn't been really realistic for me, but I love the like Sunday acoustic brunches that they've been doing, and so I did those pretty much once a month throughout the winter and stuff, and still kind of going strong there. But as I've been talking to them about what they're doing with that new venue that they just opened up and their relationships with the Palladium right next door and stuff, like Worcester seems like it's exploding more than even Boston's going to be. And yeah. You're tied in with that too. So that's, it's exciting.
Yeah, I am, you know, and it's, you know, a lot of it's crazy, you know, because you're right, with Off the Rails coming in and getting that partnership with the Palladium and doing what they're doing. And, you know, it's actually the perfect city, I think, for New England for country music, because it's right on that cusp of, you know, Western Mass and, you know, Eastern Mass. You know, I know, yeah. you know, being in Central Mass, obviously that makes sense, right? But, you know, you get that, you know, there's a draw. You know, Springfield's too far away for the people in the East to, you know, to flock to. And then, you know, Boston's too far away for people in Springfield or that area, you know, so. Yeah. I think it's a real good middle ground.
Maybe that's why I like it, because that's where I went to school, was in Springfield at Western New England. So I made that trip almost every weekend back and forth, and always kind of Worcester was always that middle ground. And so now when I go out there, I can kind of hop over there pretty quick from where I'm at. But it just seems like there's so much going on and so much it's about to pop off. So it's exciting.
Yeah, it really is, you know, and the venue over there now, the new one is gorgeous.
Beautiful.
You know, and I was fortunate enough to see it right, you know, before anybody else really had, and like, I couldn't believe it, you know, it was awesome. You know, I think they can do big things over there for sure.
Yeah. And that's a kind of segueing into where I even see myself. I've always, I think I was telling you and some others, I've always, as much as I love music and am passionate about kind of keeping the band going, and obviously it's more of a struggle now trying to start a family and finding time. Like right now is about the only time I get during the days now. Once the kid goes down around 7-8 o'clock, I can go down into a little soundproof corner in my basement and practice guitar for a few minutes before I run out of energy for the day. Yeah. But I still enjoy having the full-time job and what I do. And so I, in the back of my mind is I know a lot of the people you have on, the goal, the end goal is always to get to Nashville, record in Nashville, be a Nashville recording artist. And for me, I'm like, I just want to be a Boston recording artist. I want to really try to thrive in this area, keep my job and keep my, build really a local following and like start a family and set my roots here. And I think that there's enough to really build something here without having to, have that reach to Nashville, which is obviously the end goal for a lot of people who want to make it nationally. And for me, it doesn't seem like that's realistically where I want to go. Obviously it's would be an amazing pipe dream, but in reality, I would love to just take advantage of everything that's really blown up around here, whether it be country or just the music scene in general. There's just so many new, even that new MGM building that's going in right in Fenway. It's like, it's just the amount of venues that you have available from Boston to Worcester, even to, I spend most of my summer up with my family in Guilford, New Hampshire, right across from the Bank of New Hampshire Pavilion. And no matter where you turn, there's always some major artist coming through with opportunities to either open a show or even just go see a show. And it's just, it's a good place to be these days.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for around here, there really is no, lack of venue, and that's also only within the last few years too, that used to be where there was only a handful of venues and now it's, it's everywhere.
Yeah. They're all doing that, Nashville style, the off the rails, the Stanzies. Loretta's obviously it's cool. It's a cool vibe. You can kind of escape to a Nashville, and it would be even cooler to see more of what, like I was saying, what Jake and Jenny were doing, those writers rounds. I know Loretta's has been doing it too. And in some of these places, to really try to push the original music as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to backtrack a little bit because you kind of took me by surprise with what you said. Now, are you saying to me that if I typically call people out by first name, but I won't. If your wife says to you, "Hey, you have this opportunity, you have to take it," would you not take it?
Oh, she's been 100% supportive, and I think if we ever had a chance to go and actually make a full-time living in Nashville and have that kind of an opportunity, she would be the first one to jump on board and be game for it. I think moving anywhere south of New England as far as weather would be a talking point. But that would be the first point on the pros list. But then again, it's one of those things where all of our family has grown up around here. We have both of our parents and all of our extended family all within our radius, and so that's been the biggest piece to really pulling the trigger to go anywhere else. And every time we talk about it, there's so much going on in this area for us, and it has always been to me a hobby, and I am now getting into the original thing, and it's a blessing and a curse, because in one sense I have a really great job where I actually enjoy what I do on a daily basis, but it leaves me really no time to spend the amount of time that you need to really have a career in music. And to that point, I almost feel guilty sometimes to think like if you really want to make it in music, you really can't have a backup plan. You need to go all in, and you like the, at least from kind of the perspective that I see and the people that are really struggling, you obviously have the people that go viral, and I'm sure you can tell by my social media presence, that's not going to be me. to really go and be the boots on the ground and be able to play a residency every single night, it's one of those things where I am blessed and cursed to have that backup, to know that I don't think I would ever get to the point where I would say I'm comfortable enough dropping everything that I have going for me right now with family, friends, my son, like everything that's going on for us right now, to take that risk unless it was like an absolute sure thing, kind of going and trying to make it in music. And obviously, who knows, maybe that's just me trying to talk myself into feeling better about it, but in one sense it's obviously I wouldn't be I wouldn't be doing it and making music if I didn't, in the back of my mind, want to make something of it. But on the other sense, it's something that I'm also doing almost to, for years I've been kind of dragging my feet. The song that I just recently released, I Bet, was that first song that I ever wrote and hid in my drawer. I Won't Wait was the first one that I wrote about the breakup that I went through. And obviously I'd kind of revisited it, rewritten it over years and years and years, but I had started to write some of these ideas that I'm now coming out with years ago, and kind of kept them all. And when we formed the band, it was obviously a cover band trying to get into some of these places, build somewhat of a following, and get some experience behind us. But then when it came to recording and doing our own original material, it was one of those things like everyone in the band had, like, everyone has a connection to be able to do it all ourselves. Like, we know enough recording studios, people knew producers, we knew if we had the time and I guess capacity between the band to put in the time to record these things ourselves, we could have. But everyone works full time, everyone has a family, and everyone kind of does this on the side. And so for years I just been kind of dragging my feet, saying, well, if we were to be able to finally record, if we could do this, if we could do that, if we could do this. And finally I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna regret it if I never start and just kind of pull the trigger. And I'm, and in one sense it's like, well, I don't have the time because I have a full-time job. And I'm thinking to myself, well, idiot, you have a full-time job. Why don't you take that time that you don't have and the money that you're making with that full-time job and invest it in your hobby that you're also like making some money on the side, and let's actually get the ball rolling and do something and just break the ice. Because if you don't, I'm just never going to know the process. I'm never going to have that motivation to finally do it. And so that's where I reached out to 37 Foot Studio, Sean McLaughlin, who works with I know Annie Bropes on a lot of her recent stuff too, and he's been awesome, and I've recorded with him for these past two projects. And it just shed a whole new light on just the process and recording and what I need to work on, that kind of stuff. But at the same time, it was more just I need to get over the fact that I can't handle this all myself. I don't have the capacity to go and do it and figure out how to put all the pieces together. So let me take what I have and let's hire a pro to help me out. And it's been awesome to kind of get in there and finally start digging into, like I said, telling my own story. But in the back of my mind, I know it's the motivation and the goal isn't to go viral and make a bunch of money on it. I've accepted the fact that I'll probably never make the money back that I made recording it, but I wanted to do it for myself to just start getting stuff out there and kind of see where it goes.
Yeah, I think out of all the people I've talked to, I think you're one of two that, you know, have that, like, this is what it is. You know, this is a hobby. This is, you know, I may never make it big and I'm okay with that. I find that very fascinating, because everybody else is like, you know, well, if I don't make it in some sort of capacity, I don't know what I'll do with myself, you know. But I think it's because you have that full-time job. You already have, you know, a career that you love and are, you know, obviously probably good at, you know, so to walk away from it would just be as hard as, you know, walking away from music or whatever.
I think the problem was I was one semester short from where most people were. So usually people decide that they have a passion for music and they're like, I still got 2 years left of college. Like, I need to just go for this. And for me, I found out that I had a passion for music with only like one semester left. And I said, you know what? I just got to finish this and figure it out afterwards. And so now I get nowhere to run, because now I have a degree and a job, and yeah. I have that fallback. That was always the game plan, and it kind of popped up kind of so late into that process that by the time I was actually playing out and playing live, it was while I was interning for like engineering positions and kind of making my career in that sense too. So it never, I think, was a reality, and it's slowly over these past couple of years become more of a reality that, hey, if I've seen enough of these local artists and I've gotten a good amount of connections, and I see how it can be done, and who knows if that'll keep developing into this is something that can be done and will be done. And obviously it gets harder and harder as I build a family around here too, but it's something that obviously I'm of course never going to close the door, or else I wouldn't be talking to you. I wouldn't be in the studio a couple weeks ago recording my next project and stuff like that. But also I think publicly I like to keep the expectations realistic, and not, which is good and bad obviously, but something, yeah, definitely different.
That, you know, that's great. Like, it really is. You know, it's also, you know, I love your attitude about it, where it's just like we talked about, like, you know I keep saying it, but it's a great attitude to have, where you just know where you are. You know, a lot of people just don't, and are just going to keep, you know, keep chasing a dream that may or may not arise, but you're chasing a dream that, I don't want to say you care or don't care if it comes to fruition, but you know, you're comfortable, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. And I say that, and at the same time, in the back of my mind, I'm always trying to, I said it before, I think it's what has kind of driven me in everything, whether it be, I always say, when I got into college and stuff, and I was playing football, I had a couple of people that were mentoring me in the weight room, even, and working out when I was in high school. And so by the time I got to college, I had been surrounded in high school by the two top tier weightlifters and kids that had went to like D1 and D2 football schools and stuff like that. And those were the two, even though they were a couple of years older than me, that I always kind of hung out with and tried to model myself after, because I knew that they were so much better. And so by the time I got into college, I was kind of ahead of everyone else in my class when it came to that aspect. And I did the same thing in music, where I immediately wanted to try to surround myself with people that were a lot better than me, that I could just learn from, so that I could just constantly be trying to develop. And I try to apply that to everything, but that's been one of the best parts of it, is kind of coming out and immediately just having this mentorship with all the guys that I have in the band and stuff. And it's been a cool journey, even though, like you said, I kind of am still doing it on the side and as a hobby. It's just a constant drive to want to be the best, even though my outward view on it seems like I'm like, well, it is what it is, I'll take it as it comes. In the back of my mind, I'm also looking at all these artists and all these different people online, and that's where I was kind of going with this, I guess, is I still compare myself to everyone who's doing this full time and trying to make sure that I put that amount of work in. And I'll find myself, it's a struggle sometimes, because obviously I'm on the computer and working from 8 till 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I got the kid for a little bit, and by the time he goes down at 7 or 8 o'clock, I'll be back on my computer working on my set list or emailing people or venues and trying to get some content going and making my own content and graphics and stuff for social media, or trying to get my next original song together. And any little piece of a break that I have, I'm still trying to dedicate to this and treat it as a business. And so it is, as much as I say it's a hobby and treat it as a hobby, I'm also putting in a lot of the effort that it takes to be a business, and it does become a pretty big stress sometimes. And in the back of my mind, it's like, oh, well, you haven't posted a TikTok in like 48 hours, or you haven't posted an Instagram in 2 days. So are you going to become completely, you're going to fall off the grid? And then I'm like, why do I care?
Yeah. Yeah.
So no, it's a constant battle of how much I, especially when it comes to social media, how much effort I want to put in and what my end goals are. I'm still struggling to try to define that in my own head.
Yeah, you know, it's hard, you know, because even for what I'm doing, like you have to treat it like it's a full-time job, even if it isn't, you know, it's hard. It really is, you know, because like you said, you know, I'm sure you're like, you know, the rest of us that have full-time jobs and doing stuff like this, like, you know, I'm sure you and your wife have had the conversation of like, well, how worth it is this? You know, it maybe not in so many words, but you know, the conversation I'm sure has come up. And oh, yeah. You know, that's a legitimate conversation, and it's a normal human one, you know, and I don't think, you know, enough credit gets put onto that, you know, everybody that's doing this still has, you know, a level of life outside of what they're doing. You know, when you can't, I know it's hard for me, and I'm sure, you know, it's hard for you. It's hard to compare or not compare yourself to, you know, people in your group, in your realm, you know, but you also need to know, you know, like you do, you know, some of these people are doing it full time. Like,
yeah,
you know, like Annie has all day to do this, you know what I mean? Or whomever. Not to pick on Annie, but we know Annie well, right?
Oh no, yeah, she oh my God, she kills it. And yeah, that's where I look at it, and it's amazing. And that's where it's just a constant battle where what do I come off as if I have some goal and I'm comfortable with where I'm at, but in the back of my mind, you're never comfortable. I used to think, oh, well, if I can play Loretta's, I'm comfortable with that. Now it's like, well, right. If I can, like, yeah, now I'm playing shows like that and starting to get into these other ones. Well, now I want to be a part of this festival. Well, now I want right. to open up for this. And you're never satisfied as much as you say you're going to be satisfied. You always want to get to that next level. And now I'm getting to the point where it's like, I mean, I've talked to a lot of these different artists and stuff, and the amount of time and effort that goes into just creating content, just creating graphics, just trying to manage single release is such an endeavor. And I'm trying to do that independently is obviously takes a lot of time, and I don't want to half-ass it at the same time. So it's one of those things where I'm definitely kind of giving into that and putting my pride aside and trying to gain some help and work with different people for either content creation or like getting one little promo video shot will give me months worth of content and promotion that I could use for ads and for videos and things like that. And it's like, why not put that effort in and do that and just get that kind of in your belt as another tool. So I'm getting to that point, trying to understand it, but it's a fun ride one way or the other. And it sounds like, and I love, that's why I've really, when I say that I listened to all your podcasts, I've actually went back and over the weeks, I've listened to a good amount of them, if not the majority of them, because I love listening to the stories of the backstories of where other people are actually coming from. You see one thing when it comes to the TikTok that's scrolling by every day, and the Instagram stories. It's kind of refreshing to hear the true story behind it all, and the same struggles that you're going through. And even your episode with Tim Bono had prompted me to reach out to him, and we've been co-writing it a couple of times and played some shows together and linking up for some stuff. And it's just good to kind of be able to hear about the network of musicians and artists and stuff that you have even in New England. And obviously you've branched out far beyond that now, but it's an awesome platform that you've created for us. So I really appreciate it.
Oh man. Like that warms my heart. I love hearing that. Thank you for telling me that story, because it's like, you know, I have a lot of days where I sit here and I try not to, you know, squabble about numbers and listens all too much, because I don't know how much of it's accurate or not. And it's like, you know, I have days where I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, am I wasting my time doing this? You know what I mean? But then I hear stories like that, and it's like, no, it's not, you know?
Well, at the same time, you say you're booked out till what, October? I think you're doing pretty good for yourself. I just saw today that season three is in the works and or coming out.
Yeah, this episode that we're doing now will be within season 3. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're doing something right.
I guess.
When you're getting the emails of people reaching out to you, and I mean, you got the branding, you got the frequency down. I see you posting, getting after it, trying to hit the algorithms and the TikTok, the behind the scenes, the obviously getting into the whiskey part of it and stuff. I mean, it's bound to catch, and obviously it already has. You're doing something right, man.
I mean, I guess, and I appreciate that, you know, but like you, right? You know, I mean, I think you're doing something well, but I'm sure there's days where you're like, I'm not doing this well at all.
Yeah, know? I'm definitely a perfectionist. I think that's what has kind of kept me for so long from not kind of moving forward, because I'm always going back to the point where my biggest struggle is I just was in the studio a couple of weeks ago from my next two singles that I'm releasing, and I was rewriting lyrics on the couch while I'm watching them do the drum takes and kind of lay down some of the guitar takes, and I'm still sitting there 15 minutes away from doing the vocal take, and I'm like, should I say this word or that word? And then by the time I get into the booth, I'm singing it 2 to 3 different ways every single time I sing it. And I'm like, all right, I'm sorry, you have 8 takes there, and every single time I say something different. So you're going to have to, we're going to have to decide on which one, and I'm going to have to keep running it. And I'm realizing that's kind of my sticking point, is I'm way too overcritical to the point where I'm making changes like up to the end. And then I walk out of there, I'm like, damn, I should have went with the first one that I said. And I'm sure it's a common flaw, I guess, in a lot of musicians, or else they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. But just learning about pieces like that I'm trying to work on and let flow a little bit more naturally.
Yeah. And you know what, it's everything, you know, like you said, you know, you're trying to perfect a craft that you love, right? And you know, I'm sure there's songs or things you've written, like you were just talking about, from, you know, years ago, that you look back on, you're like, wow, this sucks, or wow, I could have done this better, or I need to change this or that. And it's, you know, I know that feeling. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, I tend not to write a lot. I mean, you hear a good amount of people saying, hey, I got enough of a catalog to fill up 3 albums. I end up really honing in on an idea, and I get an idea, I write it down, I'll take memos in my, like, voice memos, I have a whole list of notes where I just kind of think of a line or a phrase or something that I think would be catchy as a hook, and I write it down. But once I kind of lock in an idea, I'll rework the song for months and months and months and months until I finally get something that I like, versus, and that's probably the wrong way to go about doing it, but instead of kind of going and just running with an idea until it goes out and writing it in a couple of hours, and then going and moving on to the next idea, and maybe revisiting it and getting like tens to hundreds of ideas under your belt before you finally pick one. I've always been really kind of focused in on a couple of ideas that I'll really try to perfect. And again, might be something I need to work on to help with the quality and volume of material that I get out. But interesting to learn and get a feel for it as I go.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's one of those things where the more you do it, and the more you perfect it, I guess you could say, the better it's just always going to be.
Yeah.
You know. So I know, you know, I can't thank you enough for being here and telling your story, and I'm so happy to hear that you've listened to some of these and that sort of thing. So I think you know what's coming next with the only questions I do have. And so what are your boots and what are your whiskey? What is your whiskey? What is? Yeah.
So back when I first started playing, I decided to go out and get my first pair of boots. Like I said, the small town was about the only thing country about me. But I did invest in a pair of boots. I believe that they were Boulé, and I wore them for about a year. Got them in Boston at a small shop, I think, years ago. And I wore them, and I still got them. I'll wear them every now and then, but I found out that they just weren't comfortable. And I'm like, what, who am I trying to fool? I'm like, I'm sitting here with a backwards cap on. I'm not out here in a cowboy boots and a cowboy hat, and it just was so much more comfortable than when I perform now. I'm just wearing what I typically wear if I'm going for a walk down the street, and I'll be wearing whatever, a pair of freaking Sperry's if I wanted to. So I do have a pair of boots, and they're worn infrequently. When it comes to whiskey, that's kind of my go-to drink with singing now. I've learned over the years anything too cold or too carbonated is not, or too sour isn't good for the vocals. So my go-to has been, when I'm on stage, I'll do an old fashioned, and for a while it's been Maker's Mark
nice
bourbon. But recently I've been trying to spread my wings a little bit, and was recommended Four Roses, and that's been my recent go-to. But I've been more on the bourbon side of things with an old fashioned, and I would say either Maker's or Four Roses would be my go-tos right now.
That's awesome. So you like Four Roses?
I do. I've only had it a couple of times, and it's been more recent, so I need a little bit more experimentation. I don't have much of a palate to distinctly tell the differences just yet. But I don't know it. And every single bar that you go to, every single bartender that you get makes a old fashioned completely different. So who knows?
Yeah. If yeah.
that's one thing I've learned too, is that an old fashioned means many, many different things depending on where you're at.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. So we're, And I ask about the Four Roses because I keep hearing about it, and it's relatively inexpensive for the taste. You know, I hear like for the price point and the taste, it's really, you know, one of the better ones out there. And you know, but Old Fashioned is also my drink of choice when I'm out. And I love them, you know, but you're right. Every bartender makes it different. You know, for what I do for work, there's a restaurant right next door to where like my main office is. And if I have a little bit of time, I'll go there. And the bartender, she's super sweet. But she's from Kentucky, you know, born and raised, like just moved here recently, kind of girl from Kentucky. And the old fashioned she makes are by far the best ones I've ever had, you know, and I don't know if that's because, you know, she's from the land, you know what I mean? Or, you know, I don't know what it is, but like hers have been the best.
Yeah. For whatever reason, I mean, I've gone to what bars that call themselves, I don't know, whiskey bar or whatever. They get a wide array, and the bartenders looked at me and had to go and ask her manager how to make it.
Yeah.
And then I've had others that are very, very confident, but when I get it, and one of my bandmates is pretty well versed in the different whiskeys and the different ways, and very particular on how it's made, and he kind of will snuff at a lot of the ways that these bars make it, and look at it and just be like, are you kidding me? They crush the ice, and they put what? They put a cherry in that, and they put an actual, like, they didn't put the bitters in properly, and it's just, I couldn't care less for the most part when it comes to it, but I'm trying to be a little bit more attentive to how they're done, and yeah, perfect the taste, and maybe eventually try to do it myself too.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. Yeah, because
yeah, man,
you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I honestly, my taste in whiskey and bourbon and all that has only come within the last, you know, year really. You know, we had, my wife and I went on a group date with, you know, a couple of other couples to one of those whiskey bar restaurants, and, you know, went in Rome, I guess, right? I tried a flight of a variety with a buddy of mine, and it was like, oh, this is actually really good, and it just kind of, it took off.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't lie and say it's the easiest thing to just sip. Like, I'm not, I guess, that I wouldn't say fond of it. Like, I thoroughly enjoy having an old fashioned while I'm singing, but
yeah,
for the most part I was kind of forced into it, because if I tried having a beer, I'd be taking breaks off of the mic trying to burp between songs. Then I used to do like a mule or something, but the sourness would, a couple voice cracks, and I was I was looking into why I couldn't have something like that on stage. It was a little bit more sour, and that would kind of screw with me too. So the easiest thing to just kind of take the edge off, help the vocals a little bit, but it wasn't too sour, wasn't too carbonated, just kind of a perfect mix with a little bit of sweetness. That was the old fashioned. That's just been kind of my new stage drink. So it's something I'm trying to perfect.
That's awesome. I love it. I love it, man. Oh man, Andrew, I can't thank you enough for being here. And I know it's probably sounding like I'm trying to cut this short, and I'm not. I'm just trying to be respectful of your time and the little time you do have with your wife during the week. You know,
hey,
so
no worries, man. I
thank you so much for being here. And, you know, like as always, you know, anytime you need us, you know, we're here. Let us know. You're more than welcome to come back anytime you want. You know, it's been a pleasure to get to know you and be friends, and I appreciate all of it.
Well, you know, like I said, as soon as I actually schedule these next couple of releases, I'm just going to be hounding you with emails until
that,
because I know by then your following is going to be like quadrupled, and you're going to be the main source of promotion. So
you know, I keep an eye out
in August for me.
I have a as you know, and here in New England in the area, I have really only one other form of competition. But they do something totally different than what I'm doing. So
yeah.
I think the competition's there, just not, you know, as big as I think it might be. And not to spill a lot of tea, but I hear a lot of stories. So
I'll be completely transparent with you. I actually don't know who you're talking about. So I'll.
Oh, okay. Well, then we'll just leave it.
I was going to say, you're my one and only.
Awesome. Then that's all that matters.
Keep doing what you're doing, man. It's awesome. It's been a great kind of resource too for me.
And yeah,
for,
absolutely.
I'm sure lots of artists.
Yeah, and if anything I can ever help you out with, you know, just let me know. You know, like you said, I'm building a Rolodex of contacts that, you know, can only benefit a lot of people. So.
Yep. I hear you. Wink, wink.
Yeah. Yep. I got you.
big. Big things coming.
That's right.
I'll be
That's right.
keeping an eye out for you, Jim. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah. Thank you, Andrew. And, you know, I look forward to whatever happens next for you and everything that comes for you. I'm super excited for you. I'm really, really happy you're here.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime.
We'll talk to you soon, man.
All right, buddy.
Bye.
Bye.
Of course, we can't forget our friends at the Dirt Road Scholar Supply Company out of Canada. That's drsupplyco.com. They have great stuff. All of the hats I pretty much wear, all the camo hats you see me wear either on TikTok or in pictures or whatnot, all come from the Dirt Road Scholar Supply Company. A big thank you to those guys out there. drsupplyco.com. Check them out. Canadian company. Great stuff. Check them out. Well, there you have it, everyone. Our first interview conversation here on the Dirt Road FM radio station. Thank you so much again for those guys. And, you know, it's great that we were able to have a local to me artist on for the first show here. For those of you listening on other platforms, thank you so much. Also, check out Dirt Road FM. You can find them all over the place as well. There's an app. Download that stuff right now. So you heard in the conversation, Andrew's a great kid. I think he's really got what it takes. Family guy, you know, loves his wife and his kid and, you know, working and just writing music and doing the damn thing. So it's really cool to see. So, Andrew, thank you for being our inaugural Dirt Road FM interview, conversation, episode, whatever you want to call it. So for everybody else, thank you that has listened. I can't even speak today. You know, all over the place, and everybody, you know, keep listening on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, iHeartRadio. Listen everywhere because it helps us all everywhere. You know, pick your favorite platform and go with it. You know, we appreciate all the platforms that carry us, and especially our new friends over at Dirt Road FM. So thank you so much to them. Now, like I said in the beginning, you know, follow us on all of our socials. Next week, we will have a new conversation. I don't give anybody any indication who it's going to be, what it's going to be, because sometimes I don't even know. And not that I don't have it lined up. I have it lined up. But you never know what happens here on the show. There's been so much crazy, awesome stuff going on that, you know, it's hard to predict. We do have some things going on. Jimmy Allen, September 2nd, Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Our friends over at the Harbor Agency is putting that on. We got some cool things going on. We're trying to get to Kenny Chesney this weekend. We put in for Jason Aldean. We put in for Willie Nelson. You know, we have a partnership with Bold Point Park and our friends over there at Waterfront Concerts. So we have a couple more shows with them. We have Jake Owen. We have Brett Eldridge. So take a look at our website or our social medias. We will be giving tickets away for those. If you're local to New England, please feel free to, you know, try to get in on those. And that's really it. We got some cool stuff coming up. We got the whiskey stuff starting up here in the next couple of weeks. We have a really cool thing going on for that. For those of you that don't know, we did a pre-order for whiskey glasses that have the Boots and Whiskey Podcast logo on it. If you want those, please shoot us a DM. I'll send you the Venmo information and the cost on that. It looks like we're getting t-shirts and koozies as well soon, so take a look at that. Keep an eye out for those. And again, thank you all so much for the support. It doesn't go without being noticed. Trust me. I appreciate it. My family appreciates it. We appreciate you all so much. So as always, guys, like I say every week, keep the boots on the ground, keep your whiskey in the glass. Cheers, everyone. Thanks for listening.